Welcome to Breaking Free Podcast, your recovery, your way. I'm Tiffany.
And I'm Liv. You're in the right place if you want to explore what it means to be in recovery, to challenge the things that keep us small, and to learn how to thrive independently.
Together we are breaking free. Just a quick reminder that while I'm a nurse and a coach, and Liv is a coach, recovery advocate, and a writer, we are not doctors. This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to be a substitute for medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. If you need to, please, please see a doctor.
The Alana Club of Portland is proud to sponsor the Breaking Free podcast. Your recovery, your way, is at the heart of our approach to recovery support services.
Unity Recovery, an inclusive recovery community organization serving all of Philadelphia, is proud to support the Breaking Free podcast. Recovery is possible. Find your path to break free.
All right, welcome to episode 9. Did AA save your life or did you? Liv, why don't you tell me your view on whether AA saved your life?
Oh, wow. This is a huge question. and it's one that I talk about quite a lot. I have really mixed, I did have very mixed views on this topic because I think, you know, so many of us step into the language that is used in the rooms and we just kind of assume that belief system without necessarily challenging it. So, you know, you'll hear people say all the time, oh my gosh, AA saved my life. And yet, when I actually broke it down and thought about it, I don't believe that to be true. AA was a touchstone for me. And what I mean by that is it, you know, afforded me a place to land, to catch my breath, to find a sober community and a framework to look at my alcohol use disorder. The steps, you know, and I think this is the crux of it really for me is AA provide a framework, they provide somewhere to land, but they don't, you don't necessarily get well by just sticking around. They suggest that you do the program, but they can't force you to do that. You're the one that takes that action. So for me, that's the thing is, it's the intent, you know, doing the program requires my action. So I would argue that yes, they helped provide a door, you know, for me to walk through, but really I was the one that did the foundational work. And in doing that, I would say I was able, you know, looking through that framework, I was able to look at the ways that alcohol and drugs had affected my life. I was able to see how it had affected my relationships. And it gave me some tools to mend those harms. Mm. What about you?
Yeah, I would say I agree with all of that. I think initially I really believed that it did save my life because I really didn't know what to do. And I also didn't fully see the severity of the problem. You know, I was fortunate enough to go to treatment at a really young age and really was able to do some self-reflection there. And they actually had us write out all of the consequences of all of our substance use, alcohol and substance use. And it was really incredible to see on these big, huge sheets of paper. And then we had to read them to our parents. It was, that was kind of demoralizing.
To your parents?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was kind of awful. But it was, you know, I was actually fairly honest and it was good for me to see the consequences of my use. And yet I still didn't, you know, it took a while for me to really see.
Yeah.
How, kind of what path I was on and how, you know, how detrimental it was to me. And that, I think, I was afforded that in the rooms, you know.
Do you think it took that amount of time because you were so young? Because you got sober at how old?
Yeah. I started trying to get sober at 17 or maybe even 16. I'm not sure what age I was when I went to treatment. I think it partially was that because, you know, when you're that age, you think you're invincible.
Yeah.
But also partially because of the denial, really, you know, and I didn't really want to give it up. I mean, I knew it was causing me pain, but if I could have gone on without those consequences, I would have for sure.
Right.
So I think, yeah, just really thick denial and being in the rooms really allowed me to see the effects it had on other people as a kind of like a mirror.
Yeah.
And so in that way, I think it, you know, it really did. I really felt like it saved my life. But as time went on, I did start to recognize that it required me making a choice and taking action. And that, you know, but it's difficult. It's still a little complicated for me because if AA hadn't been around, or if, you know, treatment hadn't been around and all of those things, I don't know what would have happened for me, right? But I know that just having that around isn't the thing that, like you said, you know, kind of you can bring a horse to water, but you can't make
right,
a drink.
Exactly. So I think what saved me was the landing place, the community, the people that were there for me. But I had to really show up for myself, which was foreign. You know, that level of accountability with those people of saying, like, this is something you have to do for yourself. So that saved me. They couldn't do the work for me. Nobody could do the work for me. And that level of accountability of like, hey, you know, we're not going to sugarcoat this. We're not. The level of honesty that I received sometimes was pretty brutal, but it was a wake-up call. And that, I believe, is what I needed in the early days. I think my needs have changed over time, and I need more compassion and empathy now. But that kind of stark alertness from brutal honesty and people who were sober in all the ways, right, emotionally sober, was pretty crucial. Yeah, it's really interesting. I have this debate all of the time. Did AA save your life or did you? Yeah, and I think my overarching feeling is I saved it, but they gave me the framework to do that.
Yeah, I agree. I think that I think, you know, maybe you're a little further along in that process than I am, because I more recently left 12-step and I was in the program for a long, long time. And so I think I really did just adopt, you know, like you've said a few times throughout the recordings, that we kind of adopt this language and we don't really think about it. And so, you know, I still probably might catch myself saying like, oh yeah, AA saved my life. I'm really grateful for it. But, you know, XYZ or AA saved my life. And really what I mean is recovering saved my life.
Yeah.
Right. But it's such a habit.
Yeah.
And I'm really just trying to express gratitude, right, for the opportunity that it afforded me.
Yeah.
And like you said, the framework and the community and the support and for me, that mirror of like, oh, this is, I'm doing those same things
right.
that I see other people doing, or I'm just as susceptible to these potential outcomes that other people have had that are, you know, really those not yet, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I think, I totally agree. And I think too that, to the outside world, this could seem like semantics. It could also seem like a lack of gratitude. But actually, I think it's pretty crucial, because if we don't have the level of autonomy and awareness to realize, you know, the language that we're using in certain respects, then we kind of build a dependence. And that's my big thing with AA is that, you know, if we go back to AA's origins, it was only supposed to be a bridge to normal living. But I think the fellowship have developed it into something beyond that. And it's become a religion in a way, you know, that you need to go regularly. You have your community. You can live within that community. And some people do, you know, they go every day. They socialize within that community. They live within that community. And it becomes this silo outside of what is considered like an integrated life. And, you know, if that works for you, great. But I think it kind of, it creates a dependence rather than an independence. And I like to think of life in recovery as interdependent, right? That we can slowly move away from that hold, that tight hold that we have on recovery in the early days, and we can loosen our grip and we can become fluid and explore other avenues that might work for us. I think if you have that dependence, then in some ways it creates the belief that your recovery is dependent
on AA.
Right?
Yeah. I think that's really the problem with kind of blindly spreading this message or blindly accepting this message of, you know, that AA saved my life, because if we are dependent on AA to be, you know, in recovery or to be sober or whatever your recovery looks like, then, you know, in the absence of AA, what happens?
Right.
And it makes it so that, you know, the idea of leaving AA or not going to meetings or whatever that looks like for you, then that means that you're risking your life.
Yeah.
And, you know, you and I are both proof that that's not true in everybody's cases. And, you know, they even cite in the big book about men in the war and how actually they had a lower relapse or return to use rate, or drinking rate than people who were here and going to meetings. So, you know, it's, and who knows what the, you know, that was many years ago. Who knows where they got that data? But, you know, the point is that we can, you know, we can survive outside of the program. Some people may need it. It may work for some people to initially get sober. And I think that was, you know, my experience for sure. But, and having that community, kind of that ready-made community, was something that really helped me. But I don't believe today that, you know, my life would be at risk if I, you know, or my recovery is even at risk if I choose not to participate in 12-step.
Yeah, same. I'm on totally the same page there. So yeah, I mean, I think it's a really interesting discussion, and one that I do really love to have with people. One other point that I wanted to make was that in, you know, being part of a what can be restrictive framework of recovery, you know, it's a very defined pathway, right? And having to do that day in, day out for the rest of your life doesn't allow us to be fluid. And we talked about that in the very first episode, that your needs do change when you're in recovery. And with the opening of that doorway and the doing the work, it shows you that, you know, it uncovers other things. So for me, it uncovered complex PTSD that I had no idea that I had. And that's my challenge is, you know, we need to be able to find what works for us with that awareness. You know, my needs changed insofar as I needed to be able to start to recover my ability to self-regulate. The 12 steps can't do that, nor do they promise to. But given that the complexity of substance use disorder has developed over the years since 1939, when AA was first around, trauma is way more prevalent in substance use disorder today. And I think that's where the, you know, the turning point was for me is, okay, I need more. And I needed more to save my life, right? You know, because I couldn't have continued in this highly dysregulated state all of the time. That could potentially have led me back to using, because it was a very painful reality not to be able to use substances to numb.
All right, we're going to take a pause here so that we can hear from our awesome sponsors.
The Alana Club of Portland is proud to sponsor the Breaking Free podcast. Your recovery, your way, is at the heart of our approach to recovery support services. As the largest and most diversely programmed non-clinical recovery support center in the United States, we've been proudly breaking barriers and forging new pathways for years to ensure everyone has a home in recovery. From peer mentoring to recovery CrossFit, from trauma-informed yoga to mindfulness training, the Alana Club of Portland has a recovery pathway that's right for you.
Here at Unity Recovery, we believe recovery should be the expectation, not the exception. Whether you find support with mutual aid, harm reduction, medication, or yoga, your recovery is beautiful and worth celebrating. Learn more and become part of the recovery movement at unityrecovery.org.
And we're back.
So yeah, was there anything else in your...
Well, I just
saving
want to say,
yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate that, because I think what you're saying and what we're kind of saying with this podcast or this episode in general is that if we equate saving our lives with AA, and that means then that means that we have to continue utilizing AA in the way that we've been taught is the right way,
right,
quote unquote, and then that doesn't necessarily open up other room for other pathways and other processes and modalities and tools, right? And so it keeps us, by making those things be, making our life, our recovery be dependent on AA, that creates an environment or a culture that people feel that they can't necessarily seek outside support.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it talks about it in the rooms, like seek outside support, but it still feels like you have to do this first. This has to be primary, and it takes up a lot of time and mental and emotional energy to be going to meetings all the time, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 days a week.
Yeah.
And, you know, working the steps and all of these pieces. Now, I don't think, you know, I think we're not in any way saying that those things aren't valuable, but that it's okay to have that fluidity and realize that you're making the choices, and that if you choose to continue to grow along your path of recovery, that you are saving your own life and that you can trust that you'll know the right thing for you.
Yeah. And two, what if you're attributing all of your success in life to AA? You know, it seems to me that it would follow, like, AA saved my life, and because of AA, I was able to do X, Y, and Z. But that doesn't allow for you to be able to develop self-esteem, right? Because you're giving away the credit to AA. Yes, had you not got sober, you wouldn't have been able to do those things. But in the development of self-esteem and self, right, which is crucial to recovery, if you don't take the credit for some of those things yourself, you don't continue to develop your self-esteem. I mean, I don't know about you, but mine was in the gutter when I... Do you say gutter in America?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, good. You got gutters here. Good.
Yes, we sure do. A lot of us have been in them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree. I think... It's important to make that distinction, and it may be that our choice to seek recovery is what allowed us to do those things, right? And we could replace the word AA with recovery, and it would feel a lot more self-directed and autonomous. And because certainly, like, I would never have been able to go to nursing school if I hadn't gotten sober and been in recovery, right?
Yeah.
But I used to say, I would have never gone to nursing school if it wasn't for AA. But it's not like everyone who goes to AA is going to go to nursing school, right? That's not right for everyone. And it was, you know, my seeking recovery. And, you know, I was, you know, highly motivated. Like, I did, and I still am. And that's the thing, is like, I have to recognize too that my drive for personal growth and development and my growth, my drive for seeking out recovery and healing and all of that is my drive, right?
Yeah.
But not everyone has that same drive. And I think that's something, it's really important to not make this a moral issue and not make it, you know, some people are happy with just, you know, getting sober and like just going to work every day. Like that to them, that's living a life that they, of their dreams, right?
Yeah.
That they can just show up to work every day. They can be a worker among workers, right? But for some people, that's not enough.
Yeah.
And we are all different. And so that's kind of where that, you know, the choices that I made to seek out recovery, and I talk a little bit today about getting sober. For me, that's what it took to really save my life. But not everyone has that same. So we're going to talk about, you know, harm reduction, and we're going to be talking about, you know, alternate pathways that include things like marijuana in recovery.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's my path. And I think that this is, again, kind of touching on this theme that we keep coming up to with this podcast, is that autonomy and self-direction is really important and really valuable in recovery. And so this language, this kind of sentence that a lot of us have uttered many, many times, can diminish our ability to recognize that we are in fact in charge, or we are in fact making the choices that are leading to us healing and growing and recovering.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, so I mean, I think we've covered the key points here, and I also want to say that you know, if you do believe that AA saved your life, good for you, right? Mm-hmm. This is us speaking for, you know, for our own personal journeys in recovery. Mm-hmm. We're not here to tear down your belief system or to invalidate your recovery in any way. We respect all pathways of recovery.
Yeah,
we're just here to say that, you know, hey, when you're adopting this language, maybe think twice, you know, is that the right phrase for you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and when you're holding that framework of recovery and that those relationships, your sponsor relationship, hold it loosely. You know, your recovery is not dependent upon the pathway that you follow. It's dependent on your commitment to your recovery.
Mm, yeah, beautiful. Yeah, exactly. And I think what you said there is spot on. And the idea that, like, we're all of us feel that our lives have been saved. Like, how amazing is that?
It's incredible.
And so the more people we can help, the more people we can, you know, include in this process is a miracle, right? Like, every time someone finds recovery and their life has been saved, regardless of whether they, you know, they believe that they saved it, whether AA saved it, that's really the beautiful thing. And we want more and more people to be able to access that. And so that's kind of one of the reasons we're exploring all of these topics. So thanks so much for joining us today. Be sure to listen for our next episode, Life After 12-Step Recovery. Thank you for listening to Breaking Free Podcast, Your Recovery, Your Way.
We want to hear from you.
Email us at hello@breakingfreerecovery.com or join our Facebook group, Breaking Free Community.
Tell us what Breaking Free means to you.